We're starting right now. Our Ask the Expert weekend continues on News 102.3 KRMG.
Money, money, money.
It's Money Matters with Wes Moss on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Wes is the certified financial planner and chief financial strategist at Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about money, investing, and how to grow and keep what you have. Give Wes a call at 918-460-KRMG or text your questions to 95920. Now, your host of Money Matters, Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Here live on KRMG News 102.3 AM 740. Of course, you can text us at 95920 or call us at 918-460-KRMG. Second quarter GDP looked pretty darn good. I would say better than okay, but not fantastic. Sentiment is still poor in the stock market, and that's a good thing because we don't want euphoria. Housing starts for June up 9.8%. Housing starts up 9.8%. Not a bad idea. Facebook, 39% rise in profits. We'll take that all day, but the stock was down 3% on the week. A lot of volatility in these internet companies. Of course, Twitter down 12% on the week. Amazon up 1% on the week. Year to date, you do a chart, talk about a winner take all environment when it comes to technology companies. Year to date, Twitter net negative 13% for 2015. Facebook up 20%, and Amazon up a cool, calm, and collected 72% for the year 2015. Rough week for big blue chip companies like Exxon. Procter & Gamble had a rough week. Chevron, but despite that, the Dow was up about 0.75%, down now about 0.75% on the year. S&P was up about 1%, now up 2% on the year. The Federal Reserve says, hey, we need to still see, in quotes, this dramatically articulate word, we need to see some improvement in the employment market in order to have liftoff, meaning that before they start to really raise interest rates. That's it looked like September was the month. Now it looks like it's more like December. Earnings, Pfizer blew it out of the water. Ford blew it out of the water, up 5% for Pfizer. Ford up 3%, both those companies. We're at the point now where earnings season is kind of the tail. And we've had 355 of the 500 companies in the S&P report. 73% of those companies have surprised or beaten expectations. 20% of those companies have missed. But if you look at on aggregate, we've got to figure out where we're headed and in aggregate, because really that's why we own equities in the first place. Earnings, that's the mother's milk of the stock market. If we're going to go higher in this market, we've got to see not just flat and good earnings, but growth in those earnings. So far for the second quarter in 2015, if you look back over the past year, depending on what firm gives you the full estimate and tracking earnings precisely, because there's a lot to it, obviously. It's not just one simple number. The growth is pretty much flat. I've seen estimates that were positive 1 or 2% and some that are down 1 or 2%. But from an aggregate perspective, this time versus last time, the same time last year, where are company earnings? Well, they're not negative. They're pretty much just flatline. Hey, guess what? What's happened in 2015 so far for stocks? Well, pretty much flat. And that's not a coincidence. That's part of how this market works. Flat earnings means flat market. Unless we as investors are paying more and more for those earnings. And then we get into something called multiple expansion, which just means we pay higher and higher prices for stocks. And right now, we're not in an environment where investors are willing to do that. So we're not going to get a market rise just because we're willing to pay more. We're really going to have to see underlying fundamentals, the tide of this market, it's made up of earnings. That's got to go higher before this market really breaks out to the upside. Of course, coming up this week, Thursday, one of the biggest television events I think we'll see all year, the very first GOP debate starring apprentices Donald Trump. Again, remember, I've got a little bit of background with Trump and The Apprentice. Back in 04, I spent, I believe it was about 7 weeks, which was a pretty significant period of time, kind of mid-career for me, 10, 11 years ago. I got to the point where I was able to go. I was on a team of advisors, went up to New York, filmed The Apprentice, second season, made it about long enough TV-wise. I think it was 11 or 12 TV weeks. That was plenty for me. I was ready to get out of there when I left. But got a lot of exposure, obviously, to Donald. And in real life, this is a guy who is a lot more docile and pretty likable, congenial guy. You turn on the cameras, and he knows how to behave in a way that gets him more and more press. So I think a big part of this is that he is a genius media manipulator, and that's why he's getting so much press. You love him or you hate him. Nobody kind of likes Trump or kind of dislikes him. You either love him or you hate him. But Thursday night, he's going to be live in full color on Thursday night at the GOP debate, which will be, of course, must-see television. I don't think anybody's going to miss it. Of course, job gains, that gets reported Friday jobs report. We're going to see what happened for the month of July for this first Friday in August. So far for 2015, we have added, on average, 208,000 jobs a month. So that's for the first half of 2015. Now, that's taken the unemployment rate. Again, remember, it wasn't that long ago the unemployment rate was double digits. We're talking about over 10% unemployment. And that's not the U6 number, which is the underemployment number, which counts people that have marginally attached workers, meaning that they should be working full-time and they're only working part-time. That number, that U6 number, is actually a lot higher, the U6 number, than the headline number of unemployment. But unemployment has dropped from a little over 10% now to 5.3%. And that's about where it's expected to stay. We could see it tick down even another 0.1% to 5.2% when we announce jobs this coming Friday. We're going to see, again, we've averaged a little over 200%. A little over 200,000 new jobs, 208,000 per month. And that's the consensus for this Friday, 200 to 220,000 new jobs expected. As far as the underemployment rate, that was at about 16, almost 17%. And it hit 17% in March of 2010. The U6, which is a broader measure of unemployment and underemployment, that has come down. The U6 is now at 10.5%. So the U6 is now back to where the overall unemployment rate was where it was back in 2008 when things were really nasty, or I'm sorry, 2009, 2010, when things are really nasty and really ugly in the labor market. One of the most shocking things to me this week is that was announced, and again, this isn't a market-moving event, really, but it does kind of talk back to what's happened in China and how the Chinese economy really operates, because this is a window into how that government operates and how they kind of propagate whatever economic growth they want to propagate. The 2022 Winter Olympic Games are going to be in Beijing. Now, this is a place that is not known for its freezing cold weather. They say they're going to figure out a way to make snow. Supposedly, there's mountains 90 minutes away or 90 miles away, and they're going to try to figure out how to make snow. But this is the first time we've seen the same city get the Summer Olympics and the Winter Olympics, and that's, of course, Beijing. 2008 Summer Olympics were there. But part of what's happened here is that, and this is an observation I read this week from Ann Stevenson Yang from J Capital, kind of a global research company and specializing in China. China, in their opinion, and I think this does make some sense, they love to have some sort of event or target. If it really suits the government well and it suits the people well, think about how much goes into getting prepared for the Summer Games. So in 08, it was the Summer Games, getting ready. for that. 2009, they had another huge event, the 60th anniversary of the 1949 Revolution. A lot of all this focus on that, spending on that, jobs on that. People get excited about it. 2010, they had this gigantic Shanghai Expo, and they've continued to have these big, magnanimous events, if you will, that are great. It's almost like an opiate for sentiment for the people, and it's economic stimulant that the government can direct money to. How do you think they keep that GDP number so steady? And it's come down from the 10% plus growth we have seen in the past, but it's still, and this is a country of over a billion people, we see growth of 7%. They continue to report that. Whether these numbers are real or not, we don't really know because they come from the Chinese government. But they continue to have these projects where they can inject capital into the economy. And here yet is another gigantic event that they can prepare for, they can spend towards, they can focus on, they can get people excited about, all in the year 2022. And from my reading, from what I could tell, the other main bid was from Kazakhstan to have the Winter Olympics. And I don't see why there wasn't more competition. This is usually a tremendous deal to get this to happen. I'd rather have the Winter Olympics in Tulsa, of course, than Shanghai or Beijing. With that, we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back here, and we're going to have more Money Matters with me, Wes Moss. Find me and the Money Matters team at WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Straight ahead, right here on News 102.3 KRMG.
Tulsa turns to KRMG first for live team coverage of breaking news.
Did you hear the gunfire?
The home of Fox News. News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Get breaking news alerts on your smartphone by downloading the KRMG app for both Apple and Android. Powered by Ferguson Subaru and Broken Arrow. Tulsa's breaking news leader is News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Tulsa's home for Fox News on KRMG.com and the KRMG app.
Cecil and Sons, discount tires, everything round for a just right ride.
You want to rock down the road and roll with the best, so get good tires that'll pass the test through wear and tear and rain and shine. And the price is right, too. Now, ain't that fine?
For over 40 years, Cecil and Sons Discount Tire has been your friendly family source for Cooper tires like the award-winning Cooper Discover AT3, Cooper Xeon RS3A, and the 80,000-mile warranted Cooper Touring CS5. More than that, Cecil & Sons offers you a full range of maintenance and repair services performed by ASE-certified technicians, lifetime warranty on most major brand parts we install, and an 18-month, 18,000-mile warranty on the labor to install them. Why not come out to Sand Springs and see for yourself why second, third, and even fourth generations of families continue to use us? And don't procrastinate. You need to start building or tuning your downhill racer now for the Rotary Downhill Derby on Saturday, September 19th on the Triangle in downtown Sand Springs.
Cecil & Sons, discount tires, everything around for a just right ride.
Okay Foodie, Tulsa's ultimate dining experience. A full three-course gourmet meal prepared by Chef Justin Thompson. Paired with wines from Park Hill South Liquor and Wines, Okay Foodie is hosted at the amazing new showroom of Kitchen Concepts, Tulsa's premier kitchen and bathroom remodeling company. And Party Pro Rents brings the beauty and elegance as the official provider of table decorations, dinnerware, and stemware for Okay Foodie for over 5 years. Party Pro, everything you need for a party, big or small. Get Okay Foodie tickets at KRMG.com.
The Zero Down Summer Sales Event, Truck Edition, is on at Bob Hurley Ford. Right now, get zero down on the 2015 Ford F-150 Crew Cab and get $9,000 off MSRP.
So wait a minute, Tulsa. You walk into Bob Hurley Ford, buy a truck, and you don't give him any money?
What a deal. Or get zero down on the Ford F-250 Super Duty Diesel and $10,000 off MSRP. Shop now at BobHurleyFord.com.
Stock for speed, tail box, and BAT27. All Ford rebates, dealer, WACC, and more deals.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Good morning, Tulsa, live here on KRMG, News 102.3 and AM 740. I'm your host, Wes Moss, and really, if you read through why you to some extent, right out of the gate, you think, well, when you have a Games, you have Olympic Games, you obviously have this wonderful eye on a particular city. You get 2 weeks of coverage and you get a year of anticipation, and the world just absolutely falls in love with your city. And quite frankly, it was a huge economic boom for the city of Atlanta. This is the city I moved to in the 90s, right after the Olympics. But there are tremendous amount of people that you can talk to today that ended up here because of that Olympics. And it was this big injection of jobs, and it was a big flow of human capital to the city. And it really helped long term. It was a big boost for the city of Atlanta, and it stayed a boost over all these years. And it also put, again, a relatively not a small city, but not a New York or a Chicago or Washington or an LA, but a city that it kind of got on the map because of it. And it's been a really big win. What's interesting is that no country really wants to host the Winter Olympics. And that's why you get a country like China and a city like Beijing that was really the only alternative. The second place vote count for the Winter Olympics 2022 was this little town in Kazakhstan. So you have a third world country with lots of snow, and then you have a city or a country like China that has plenty of money, but probably one of the worst places for it. If you look at the mountains where the Winter Olympics are going to be, there's now a famous picture of those mountains in the middle of January with zero snowfall. Middle of January, not 1 ounce of snow. It looks like a barren golf course that went out of business 10 years ago. And those are the mountains that they're going to have to somehow figure out a way to produce snow. The problem where countries like Poland pulled out, countries like Sweden pulled out, so Stockholm was in the running for this. Nobody wants the games because you build these big facilities like a luge track, and then you build maybe a stadium if you don't have enough room, and you build all these facilities that will then become a ghost facility. And big developed economies, particularly like Stockholm, they don't want to waste $200, $300, $400 million building facilities that are just going to be vacant as soon as everybody leaves. And Stockholm doesn't need the free press to get on the map because they're already there. So it's really kind of it's a unique place that can really benefit from the infrastructure build, the notoriety, the popularity of the Olympic Games. And for developed countries, it's right now, evidently, it's not something that people or countries or economies or political parties really want to do. Hence, China steps up because it's perfect for China. It's absolutely perfect for them because they can just throw money at the problem and bludgeon nature, as one article I read, into submission. Still don't understand how it must be that at least it gets below freezing at the top of those mountains. Other way, how do you even make snow? It's got to be cold there, and who knows if that data is real or not. We should go on our weather app right now and look at the temperature, because it's going to be, well, actually, I don't know what month that is. It's usually February. We'll look that up. Anyway, a couple more facts about China. 51 million individual market participants. That's about 11% of the 443 million households in the country of China invest in stocks. Americans, half. Roughly half of Americans are invested in the stock market in some way. If you look at the market cap of the Shanghai Exchange, market cap of $4.9 trillion, and the Shenzhen Exchange has a market cap of $3.4 trillion. S&P stands at over $18 trillion. If you look, what else is interesting here? Shanghai Composite trades at 15.1 times forward earnings. Not tremendously expensive, but the Shenzhen Exchange trades for 30 times profits. Again, still in overvaluation bubble type territory. We have seen this tremendous intervention, and this is what makes you not want to be involved in an economy and a stock market like China. China has continued to try to stem the tide of their stock prices falling. They've cut interest rates. They've banned short selling. They've banned sales of stock by large shareholders. They've pushed the brokerage companies, the big brokerage firms, to buy stocks. And then they've lent them money at really low interest rates to do so. And then they've shut down trading in what seems to almost half of the companies on some of these exchanges. So you can't even sell half the companies that are out there. Then we've seen these direct equity purchases from these governmental agencies. So you call it the Plunge Protection Program. So it makes you really appreciate a free market like we have here in the United States. Sure, you can talk about how crazy the intervention is by the Federal Reserve and how much the Federal Reserve did. But we also don't see daily manipulation of the stock market by the government, even as crazy as things were back in 2008, 2009. Effectively, we let the market went down and cleared itself. It was painful. It was down over 45% to do so, and we had a period of time where there was a period of time where it was pretty clear that most of the banks in the United States were virtually insolvent because there was this tremendous margin in borrowing and leverage in the system, and we had what looked like the imminent implosion of the entire banking system. And then the Federal Reserve came in and effectively bailed out. Well, they did. They bailed out the banks. And that allowed the banks time to recover, the economy to slowly get back on its feet. And here we are at a period of time where the banks have now repaired themselves. And now now that they've gone through this repair, it's time for banks to actually start making money again. And they'll really start to do that when interest rates start going up. So for a lot of pieces of the economy or market, rates going up, that's going to be a tough thing to get through. And we're part of why we see the market flat this year is that we keep hinting at rates going up. Rates are about to go up. Rates are about to go up. They're going to go up in September. Well, maybe not September. Now it's going to be December. And that rise in interest rates, that has traditionally been a real headwind for stocks of most kind, particularly interest rate sensitive stocks like utilities. Where we do see an uptick and we do see a benefit, net interest margins, which are basically as low as they've ever been for banks, the margin they make on loans is dreadfully low. But when interest rates start going back up and there's more room to play with, more wiggle room with higher interest rates, banks will start making money again. And that's why you've started to see financial companies do well, is that when rates go up, it's a good thing for banks and big financial institutions. So that's an area to keep an eye on as rates continue or start their journey higher. You're listening to Money Matters. We're going to do a quick break, and then we'll come back with more monies with me, Wes Moss, right here live on KRMG News 102.3.
News 102.3, Tulsa's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. The home of the three big things you need to know. On air, online at KRMG.com, and now on every device. With the News 102.3 KRMG app. Tulsa's news starts now.
News ready to go. I'm Pam Husso. Police in Memphis are asking the public to help them find a cop killer.
Police say Officer Sean Bolton was shot multiple times during a traffic stop at approximately 9:18 p.m. A civilian nearby picked up the police radio to let authorities know that an officer was down.
Fox's Brian Yenis, the mayor, calls last night's shooting a horrible reminder of the peril that officers face. After a six-year break, security talks are back on track between the U.S. and Egypt.
We agreed that We must explore opportunities to expand our security relationship.
Secretary of State John Kerry in Cairo. It's the first stop of a Mideast trip aimed at minimizing concerns over the Iran nuclear deal. Number one at the box office, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, the film earning an estimated $56 million. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Is obviously a very significant development.
New developments in the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370.
Part of the aircraft may have been found.
We'll keep you updated.
It will require examination.
And we'll be here with immediate urgent breaking updates.
We are treating this as a major lead.
Tulsa's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. News 102.3 KRMG.
Mullen Plumbing, the Red Rooter, has 95 red vans helping people all over Oklahoma. How can we help you?
Hi, I'm Mark Wayne Mullen with Mullen Plumbing, the Red Rooter. Take a few moments this month to inspect all outside faucets, particularly ones with water hoses still attached. Make sure they're not leaking within the wall. This could prevent interior water damage if caught in time. Call Mullen Plumbing, the Red Rooter, 918-258-6636. If you need a red van, call today, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How can we help you?
Hi, this is Dr. James Webb, Tulsa's osteoporosis expert. What do you think of when you hear the word osteoporosis? Do you think of a little old lady? Well, you might as well think of a soccer mom or a working man, because oftentimes that's who gets struck with osteoporosis, a special type of osteoporosis called secondary osteoporosis. Now, I've said osteoporosis about 20 times, but all it means is weak bones. Osteo, bone, porous means weak, like it has holes in it, like a sponge. So weakened bones can strike at any age, but usually they occur due to medications like steroids or Prilosec or antidepressants, things like that. So if you have back pain, have been told that you had a fracture, didn't have a good reason for it, or just had pain that no one's been able to fix, it could be due to weakened bones. If you're concerned about your bone health, call us at 918-260-9322. 260-9322 or drjamesweb.com. We're good to your bone.
Good morning. Temperatures near average again today. High 94. Sunny, quiet, and dry. 74 tonight. Monday a little hotter. High 97, but still sunny and dry. Scattered storms return Tuesday with highs around 93. Mid-90s Wednesday and Thursday with humid air and a chance for more on and off storms. From Fox 23, I'm meteorologist John Boyer for News 102.3 KRMG.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, live with me, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, live on KRMG. We've been talking a lot, too much about China. Nobody wants to hear about China anymore. Let's throw that out. Let's talk. We already talked about lowlights for the week. Well, here's one that's ever so slightly mildly depressing, is that we've seen this huge fall in commodity prices, and we've seen a fall in oil prices. In fact, this week we're back down to below $50 a barrel for oil. We're starting to see some job cuts when it comes to, certainly to commodity-related companies. So Anglo American, one of the biggest mining companies on the planet, out of Johannesburg, South Africa, and London, really based in London. This is a company that leads the world in the production of platinum. They mine for diamonds. They mine for copper, nickel, iron ore, you name it. It's a gigantic company of over 100,000 people. And I'm going to come back to those, to them in a minute, because here we're starting to see some real impacts from these lower commodity prices. Chevron just announced minus 1,500 jobs. Not a gigantic number, but minus 1,500 jobs. Royal Dutch Shell, minus 6,500 jobs announcement. That's starting to get to be a pretty big number. But going back to Anglo American, one of the largest direct commodity-oriented companies on the planet, they're cutting 53,000 jobs. They're cutting 53,000 jobs. So again, these are certainly global jobs, and they're not necessarily that many of them in America. I don't even know if any of them are in America, but it's a company that is certainly a real barometer when it comes to the commodity indices around the world. Let's take a quick thought about the market balance sheet. What are the tailwinds? So let's talk for a minute. Tailwinds, headwinds for this market. Here are a couple of the headwinds. So let's talk about for a minute the case against being in the stock market for a second. The bad news case, if you will. So we're starting to see companies. We just saw earnings were not. They've basically been flat over the last year. Margins are starting to come in, meaning that margins got to a point where companies after the Great Recession got lean and mean, and they went from 4% and 5% margins all the way up to 9 and 10% margins. There's a certain point where companies can't keep expanding the net profit. So we're starting to see that come back down. So we started to see margins come in. The market right now today, the S&P 500, is trading at about 17 and a half times forward earnings. So that's in the normal range, and that's fine, but it also doesn't mean that the market's cheap. So it's not cheap either. Three quarters of profits so far have beaten expectations, but a lot of those expectations have been lowered. And that's the shell numbers game that a lot of companies play. Only about half of companies have beaten and made those numbers work because of real revenue increases. So that's part of the problem, is that companies are still beating their numbers, but they're not necessarily selling. There's still 50% of companies are not beating their sales numbers. And then, of course, if Greece to some extent is off the table, and there were some minor headlines this week that there's still some angst about getting a real deal, what is supposedly an agreed upon deal. There's still some angst getting the details done on that deal. But provided that that's to some extent off the table, the real elephant in the room is what's happening in China. Can we believe the numbers? Are they really still growing at 7%, down from 10? Is this stock market crash they've had there, down 30-some percent, down 14% for the month of July, is that a barometer for something bigger happening in China? And if something bigger happens in China, if we're only growing at 1% or 2%, and the second biggest economy in the world is no longer growing, then where does the global growth come from? It's certainly not coming from Europe. We'll be lucky to get 1% to 2% out of Europe in growth this year. So if China goes away, or their growth, if that big, think of the cylinders of the engine are really the United States, Europe, China, and a smaller cylinder that's Japan. And then you've got the rest of the developing economies. If our cylinder is barely working and China's is sputtering, then we don't have a lot of growth. And that's where you could get a scenario where the market here really gets impacted, because there's just not a whole lot of growth around the world, and the markets need growth in order to do well. So that's the bear case. That's the bad news way, or prism, if you want to look at this stock market. And on the plus side, though, the bull case here is that a couple things about our market. I said earlier that 17 times or 17 and a half is in the normal range. It's not cheap, but guess what? It's not expensive. And there's also no euphoria at all. Investors are pulling money out of this market. You go back to the last week, we have numbers for, which was mid-July, the last recorded flow of money was negative $11.5 billion coming out of stocks. Negative $11.5 billion coming out of stocks, and that's for just 1 week. That's a monthly run rate of over $40 billion coming out of stock. So that tells me that there's no euphoria. And that's actually a good thing. So we typically get big market corrections, pullbacks, bear markets, if you will, when we're faced with a euphoric situation, meaning that people, investors, tepidness and fear grows into tepidness, which grows into a little bit of complacency, which grows into greed. And as soon as we get greed and then euphoria and this emotional cycle, that's when markets crash. And we're not there yet. So that's a good sign. U.S. economy, again, still pretty good. I rate the economy on a perfect score of 24. The worst score is a 0. That'd be an F as in failing. 24 would be an A+. We're at about an 18 right now, 17, 18, 19, depending on how you score it. Call it a BB+. So we have a that means we have a pretty good economy. The Fed, the Federal Reserve, they still dictate interest rates. They're still easy, meaning that they're still very accommodated. They're still giving us plenty of grease for this economy, plenty of lubrication, if you will, to keep the economic wheels running. And that's a good thing for the economy, and it shows us and tells us that we're a lot less likely to go into recession, at least anytime soon. So we've also seen wages starting to do ever so slightly better. There was a employment cost index this week that came out, and it was a very teeny tiny gain, if you will. But we're seeing wages in general, at least they're starting to go up. They're not back to normal growth levels, but if we do see wages actually pick up, that's going to be it's good for the broader consumer, not just the really, really high end consumer, but the broader American population. And that's what we really need to see. We need to see a kind of this broad recovery so that consumers from the middle class and beyond really give this economy a boost. And that's where we stand. The other thought is that I talked about as one of the real negative areas for the bear case, if you will, or the bad news, has to do with China. There's also, it's relatively unlikely that China is going to go into a major recession. Remember, they continue to do things like this whole stunt of the Winter Olympic Games, where they're going to pour money. They're gonna beat nature into submission with the money that they have in order to have an Olympic Games in a place where it doesn't even snow. They continue to do that manufactured economy, if you will. They need to spend some money and stimulate economic growth. Hey, let's go build a city. And nobody's gonna be in it for a while, but they'll eventually fill up. And that creates just tremendous amount of growth and a tremendous amount of jobs. Hey, we need more land. Let's go build an island in the South, in some of the South Asian seas. And that's part of what we're seeing here. The other thought here is that if China escapes a big recession, which is it's likely to not go into a major recession, the question is, where do investors go? Interest rates are still low. Even if the Fed raises interest rates, they're still going to stay low for an extended period of time. Just because they raise rates doesn't mean they're going up a lot. They'll probably raise a quarter and a quarter and a quarter. It might be another 6 months before we even get back to our year before the federal fund rate even gets back to one, which is still ultra low. So the question is, where are the alternatives? If bond yields are low, where else are we going to invest? We can invest in real estate, which again has already rallied back, and that's a harder area to buy for investors. So then we've got stocks, and it's not just you and me, it's pension funds, and it's endowments, and it's foundations that need to hit their actuarial numbers. They've got to go somewhere, and part of that is to a large extent, it's going into the market. So it's a very real phenomenon going on. The acronym that I've heard this referred to is TINA, T-I-N-A, T, there is no alternative. And there's a little bit of this TINA phenomenon going on, and that continues to make the market a place, not in every week, but in general, That's where capital has to flow in order to get a decent rate of return. And that's another part of this case why the market actually might look pretty good. So here's another thought, though. How does this translate back into actually making the economy continue to do well? There's another tailwind here is that fiscal policy or governmental policy through taxation, for the first time in 4 years, is actually helping overall economic growth. So we've had this, we remember we had the sequester, and we had this some sort of reining in, not necessarily reining in, but a slowdown in the increase in reckless spending that Congress is so unbelievably well known for. Well, because of that, that got reined in at least a little bit. Now we're back to this year, 2015, is going to be the first year where government spending actually accounts for and helps the GDP number. So we're going to see an increase this year over the next year of about $40 billion in defense and non-defense spending. That's coming from the government getting injected into the economy, and that goes a long way into contributing to economic growth. So we're going to see fiscal policy, first time in 4 years since 2010, adding to gross domestic product, which is a very, very big deal. Even with a rise in interest rates, remember, monetary policy, so not fiscal anymore, what the Fed's doing, it's still really, really accommodative. It's still, rates are low, and the Fed is still there holding a big trapeze artist safety net beneath the economy, ready for any sort of stumble. And those are a couple of additional tailwinds to this economy. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, it's easy to do so. You can go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, or email me, radio@yourwealth.com, RADIO, radio@yourwealth, YOURwealth.com. Straight ahead, quick break, then more Money Matters right here on News 102.3 KRMG.
From the halls of the U.S. Capitol, this is Jamie Dupree.
How would you like to grab lunch with KRMG's Washington watchdog, Jamie Dupree, in his backyard? KRMG presents You and Dupree in D.C., sponsored by Tulsa International Airport and United Airlines. The trip includes valet parking at Tulsa International Airport, 2 United Airlines nonstop tickets to D.C. and back, a 3-night hotel stay, and lunch with Jamie Dupree. Go to KRMG.com and the KRMG app to find nonstop flights from United to D.C. and make sure you register now to win.
Yum, the sweet nectar of summer. Time for a bushel of homegrown, delicious Freestone peaches fresh off the tree at Livesay Orchards in Porter. Crowds are lining up to choose their favorite varieties of Freestone peaches that are in bountiful supply right now at Livesay Orchards, where you find the best peaches you've ever eaten. Livesay Orchards in Porter, the official peach capital of Oklahoma. For directions, call 918-483-2102 or online at liveassayorchards.com. L-I-V-E-S-A-Y Orchards.com.
You know, it's instantly going to become her profile pic. Anyone she's ever known or even kind of knows is going to see it. So don't blow it. For a ring that shines brighter and more brilliantly than all the others, you have to go to Moody's Jewelry, because only Moody's has the angelic Angelica Diamond, thoughtfully designed by a descendant of one of the great diamond cutting families. It takes a master diamond cutter 3 times longer to craft an Angelica, producing a gem that appears to be higher in color and clarity than an ordinary diamond. He'll notice. She'll definitely notice. Everyone will notice the instant they see it. This diamond is extra special, just like your love for her. For maximum brilliance at a surprisingly affordable price, take a look at the Angelica Diamond, exclusively at Moody's Jewelry, in Tulsa's most fashionable shopping destinations and at moodysjewelry.com.
Jeffy posted,
"Finally got that promotion. Time to hashtag upgrade my car."
Congrats, Jeffy. You'll find the perfect upgrade at the Honda Summer Clearance Event. Like the Honda Accord. It's a 2015 IIHS top safety pick and comes with rearview camera standard.
Sweet. Great. I'll put it in my agenda. Hurry into the Honda Summer Clearance Event for 0.9% APR financing on the 2015 Accord for well-qualified buyers.
For great deals, visit your Northeast Oklahoma Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
Well, hi there, Tulsa. This is Wes Moss, host of the brand new Money Matters right here in Tulsa on KRMG. I'll be live every Sunday morning from 10 to noon, where we'll take your phone calls and text messages on the air. I'm in my 7th year hosting Money Matters, but we're brand new in Tulsa and would love for you to join us. Find out more or email me by going to wesmoss.com. That's WESMOSS.com. And I hope to hear from you on Sunday, 10 to noon, right here on KRMG.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. What are we doing? We're talking about how this world is impacting your journey to try to get to retirement ever so slightly early, even if it's an extra day, I'll take it. Even if it's an extra month and it helps you do that, then we're happy to do so. We've got some tailwinds to this market. For the first time in 4 years, the government spending numbers will actually contribute to GDP. We have a very accommodative Federal Reserve. That's good news for the stock market. Economic growth is okay. At least it's been okay the first half of the year. Second half should actually be ever so slightly better. We have to remember, though, that oil prices and we talked about Anglo American, this gigantic mining company, metals company, commodity company, is dropping 53,000 jobs out of a workforce of about 100,000. Here's why. We've got oil prices year over year down about 50%. The CRB commodity index, which measures a broad basket of different commodities, is down 29% year over year. So it's just this tremendous drop in these very important commodities that many companies rely on. Retail gas prices down 33% over the last year. So that's bad news for big companies like Anglo American. But it's really good news for the consumer, the broader consumer in America. And that's another tailwind to this economy. We also have low inflation, and we don't have deflation. So those are all good things when it comes to the market doing well from here. The headwinds are, though, and some of these are, to some extent, they're products of their own success, if you will. And we have the good news on fiscal policy that's going to start adding to the economy. But the bad news is we're going to go back into this reckless deficit spending. So the U.S. budget deficit fell recently to about 2.5% of GDP. That's the first time it's gotten that low as of 2008. Now that the Congress is starting to open back up the purse strings and adding $40 billion in spending to defense and non-defense spending, the budget deficit will probably get worse. And that's not a good thing for the health of our economy and our government. We, of course, always have the headwinds of political instability around the world. If you were to look at war versus peace, there's never a time around the globe where everything is peaceful, of course, but we want to err towards times of peace if you want a backdrop that's healthy or it's positive for the economy. Right now, we're kind of stuck in the middle because we have this worry about, listen, China's literally building islands in the South Asian Sea. We've got the Iranian nuclear deal that has plenty of other countries very mad. So Israel, Saudi Arabia, these countries do not like the Iranian nuclear deal. We've got ISIS that's still in the region. We still have Russia that is like a kid. It's like a rich kid with no with not enough toys. And you get bored, they get bored, and they go do something tremendously unstable to Eastern Europe, or they do something tremendously unstable in coupling with an Asian country like China. So we have that potential instability coming from China, coming from the Middle East, coming from Russia, and none of that goes away. None of that goes away anytime soon. Now, there's always that potential. There are always these rumblings. And it's part of the wall of worry that the market has climbed for years and really for decades. And that gets back to kind of the fundamentals of being a good investor. We're never going to be in a period of time where the sky is blue when it comes to being an investor. In fact, the minute we get to that point, and there are these small pockets of time where, and I remember it feeling this way back in the late 90s, where the unemployment rate was just rock bottom. People had two jobs. Internet companies are raising tons of capital. The whole economic environment was abuzz. And we had an environment where there was a period of time where it looked as though optimism as far as the eye could see and euphoria that started to bake into the attitude of investors. And that led to a crash. It led to the technology bubble that wiped away 45% of the value of the S&P 500 and wiped away 85% of the value of the NASDAQ. And we haven't gotten back to that point until this year, 2015. It took us a really 1999 to, it took us 15 years, more than 15 years, to just get back to where we were because we had this tremendous overvaluation. We had a bubble and it burst. And the bubble was evident, especially in retrospect, because there was just this mass euphoria. So we don't have that today. And that's obviously a good thing. And I go back to just the fundamentals of how do you be a good, how do you have a, how do you have a investment portfolio that you can live with and not lose sleep over? And the answer there is very simply, you've got to have some sort of portfolio that you can rely on. Now, we can't predict market ups and downs with any degree of certainty, but we can predict dividends, interest, distributions. Those three areas add up to a portfolio yield. If the yield's 3.5%, 4%, 4.5%, and we have that coming from many constituents, if you lifted up the hood and you've got 10 different ETFs or 15 different ETFs that are all contributing to that number that's about 4% a year, then you can really rely on that. You can count on that. Utility companies today, 3.5% to 5% in dividend yields. Corporate bonds yield 2.5% to 4%. High yield bonds or junk bonds, if you buy them in a fund or an ETF, so you have a lot of diversification, are 5% to 6%. MLP companies, big stable MLP companies, have come way down in price. They're yielding 5%, 6%, 7%. Put all those big main areas together. Put them together and you have a three bucket plan. The growth bucket with stocks, the income bucket with bonds, and the alternative bucket with pipeline companies, REITs, areas that pay out what we call distributions. They're not quite a dividend and they're not quite interest. But you put the three together and you got a cash flow and that works. And it's a really nice way to have some predictability in an otherwise really unpredictable market. And that's why that continues to be the theme of Money Matters and has been for many, many years here. And of course, now we're lucky enough to be bringing that to you right here in Tulsa on KRMG. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Email me, radio@yourwealth.com, or visit Wes Moss, WESMOSS.com. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful Sunday right here on News 102.3 KRMG.
Ferguson, Buick GMC Studios, KRMG FM, Sand Springs, KRMG Tulsa. Fox News is next. When news breaks, we'll interrupt immediately with a breaking news alert.
Oh my God, there's a baby in the back of the car. He pulled the baby out through the front.
The mother, Hannah Secondy, was arrested. The baby now out of the hospital and home with the father.
Breaking news from the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center on News 102.3 KRMG, KRMG.com, and the KRMG app.
Computers and servers, networking and hosting, security and development. Tulsa has the IT expert. Find them on GeekSpeak 4 to 5 p.m. Sundays following Kim Komando. GeekSpeak, presented by Data 3. Sundays 4 to 5 p.m. on News 102.3 KRMG.
You know and I know that your family is the most precious asset you have, and you want to be able to protect them in every way possible. Then this summer, learn CPR. Take a CPR class. What happens if someone in your family has a sudden cardiac arrest? You want to be able to help. Simple enough. You can learn CPR and first aid classes by visiting Citizen CPR's website at TulsaCPR.com or call 596-3600. Do not be caught flat-footed. This summer, find a way to learn and teach your family. Save a life this summer with Citizen CPR.
News 102.3, Tulsa's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. The home of the three big things you need to know. On air, online at KRMG.com, and now on every device. With the News 102.3 KRMG app. Tulsa's news starts now.
From the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center, I'm Tiffany Alanese with team coverage of our top local story. New details this morning on a crash that killed a small child in South Tulsa. It happened in the northbound lanes of Highway 169. Near the 71st Street exit. This morning, we've learned it was an 8-year-old boy who died. A 3-year-old child was also thrown from the car, and we found out a tire blew out on the car. Police say that caused the crash. Friends and family members of the victim showed up to the scene very emotional. The crash shut down 169 northbound from 81st to 71st for several hours. We learned four people were inside the car. Three were thrown out. The eight-year-old boy died from the impact.
It doesn't appear that any kind of restraints were being used inside the vehicle.
While officers were investigating this crash, another happened on the southbound side of 169. Police say a man lost control of his truck. He hit a light pole, drove through a fence, and crashed into the woods back there. Police say his injuries were minor. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation arrested a Chakotah police officer accused